Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, Rocket can. What up? And welcome to Maggie and Perloff. It is a glorious Friday. I'm here in the New York City studios. My compatriot, Andrew Perloff, jetted to Los Angeles very, very, very late last night. He is coming to us from the very palatial studios, the Westwood One studios in L.A. And what happened? You brought the big board of disagreements with you? Is that
your idea
of a good time?
No, I just wanted to set the tone out here in L.A. because, yeah, I'm at this gorgeous Westwood One studio, and I want Maggie and Perloff to have a real presence here. So I wrote up the big board. You know, the things that we have not gotten along about, basically. The big issues that you and I just can't see eye to eye on, just to let them know what we're all about. And you know who I have number one there, Maggie?
Who's that?
Joel Embiid. You think that he is going to leave my 76ers, our star, our number two in NBA voter, MVP voting, our second team all-NBA guy? No way.
Yeah, well, the reason, I mean, you were basically ready to drive him to the airport after they lost against the Miami Heat. I don't know who likes him more, me or you. But yes, things on the big board of disagreements, if you're watching us on CBS Sports Network, very important topics like whether squirrels will kill you, rum and cokes, is that a manly enough drink at a bar, lots of things. So we'll continue to get back to our big board of disagreements. I'm curious if this next one, Perloff, is going to end up on the big board of disagreements. And that is this sort of newish argument that I'm seeing being made by Pat Beverly and some other NBA players that Steph Curry and LeBron James are like same conversation. And this is going to come off as sounding anti-Curry, and I do not mean it that way at all. But LeBron James is like top two in the history of the NBA. Steph Curry, we can talk about top 10, we can talk about top 8. Perloff, he's not top two. Like, can we stop with the insanity? He's an amazing player. He's a game-changing player. We will look back on him as being one of the, like, innovators, if you will, of the NBA. And whether you think that's a good thing, some people think it's a bad thing because of all the three-point shots. But can we please, like, he's not there with LeBron. Am I crazy? He's not there with LeBron.
No, this will not go on the big board of disagreements. Okay. I'm right there with you. Although, I do have a little bit of an issue with the comparison. Are we talking about apples and oranges here? Steph Curry is unique in his own way and has done something different than anyone's ever done in the NBA. If you're picking teams to start with, you're going to take LeBron 10 times out of 10. And LeBron has also had an incredible impact in the game. Steph Curry is just different. It doesn't feel right to rank them against each other. But if you have to do it, right now I think we're looking at Steph Curry at 8, 9, 10, 11 in that area. I think that a more apt debate would be Steph Curry versus Kobe Bryant. I mean, I think that's the level we're talking about. You're right, LeBron, just by nature of his accomplishments, his durability, his titles, his trips to the finals. I mean, maybe you drop him to three, but that's about it. And you can't say definitively right now Steph Curry is top three. So the debate doesn't even really make sense to me.
Yeah, it's a fair point. But yeah, you know, listen, There's another part of LeBron, the all defensive teams that he made,
yes,
where, you know, Curry was not exactly, you know, as dialed in on that end of the floor, although I know he's been a little bit better this year with an increased focus. But no, it's not the same. You're right about that. And maybe we aren't having the same conversation in terms of changing the game versus impact. But I guess if you were to play the devil's advocate, you know, Curry is still just, what, 33 years old, Curry? So I think most people have already kind of put LeBron wherever they're going to put him, whether that's one or two, I think, for most basketball fans. And we don't have to have the Jordan LeBron debate today. We just will put wherever you stand, he's one or two for most people. For Curry, he could still add to, you know, his legacy.
It's LeBron, about two.
LeBron could also, I know. But, like, Curry could say, you know, he's going to be in his, you know, sixth finals now. He could win multiple more rings. And then maybe we're having another conversation. But I just don't see, like, okay, here's Patrick Beverley, right? So Pat Bev making the rounds on ESPN. We found Pat Beverley's next career.
Yeah. Oh, he's set. It's a bidding war. Let's bring it on, Pat Bev.
So here's what he had to say about Steph and why he's putting him right there with LeBron.
Man, they right there.
They're right there together.
I mean, you have to. He's changed the game. LeBron's changed the game. Of course, everyone knows that. He's changed the game for a 6'8", 6'9", guy to be able to do the stuff what he does with the ball you've never seen before. But what Steph Curry has done, like Alan mentioned on it, these guys are shooting threes and not looking anymore. I mean, he has changed the game. He is
the most popular player in the NBA.
He looks good doing it. The face is perfect. I mean, everything. I mean, he's the golden boy. Everyone knows that. It just works for him.
And that was, you could hear Vince Carter was agreeing along. That was on First Take. Yeah, I mean, of course, Curry's like the golden boy, but LeBron is also golden boyish to a lot of people.
Definitely.
You know, LeBron is the one who came in with all the hype in the world and somehow exceeded it, you know, which so rarely happens in sports. Whereas Steph Curry was able to come in, was way more under the radar and was able to build up towards what he's become.
Okay, here's a question. Let's spice this up a little bit.
Okay.
2015 through 2018, who is a better player? The first Warriors championship through the last Warriors championship.
LeBron to me was still the best player there.
No, I think LeBron in that window, I think Curry was better.
Because
I mean Curry, you couldn't do anything. There was nothing. Curry got onto the court. I mean, and it was out time. And also the Golden State really should have, in my opinion, and I know we disagree about this, should have won all those titles. Curry was just like, he couldn't quite stay healthy through that 16 season.
So I still think LeBron was the best player there, but I understand why Curry was winning MVPs, because you're right. Nobody was like launching from the logo at that point and consistently seemed to be making them. Steph seemed completely unguardable, but I would still put LeBron, what he was doing on the defensive side. LeBron, you know, I would say the first finals where the Warriors beat the Cavaliers and Andre Iguodala got finals MVP, LeBron should have gotten finals MVP. Like that.
No. Oh, come on. Pearl, why would you give a losing? Why would he had huge numbers on a losing team? Who cares? They lost. I have heard this argument before. That makes no sense to me.
It absolutely makes sense. Kyrie Irving broke his kneecap after the first game in that series, and the LeBron was without a doubt the best player on the court in that series.
That's because he had to take every shot. He was completely relaxed. He's like, I'm the only one who could shoot on this team. So, of course, he put up huge numbers, but huge numbers and a losing effort mean the same thing as bad numbers and a losing effort. Nothing.
How about this? The fact that we did not think this was going to end up on the big board of disagreements, but it ends up on the big board of disagreements. Wow. Should someone be able to win an MVP in a losing effort in a series? But we'll have to take that for another day, because we want to litigate like the whole thing. And I guess I'm just curious at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227, like, who's out there who does think that LeBron and Steph Curry are in the same conversation? Like, Pat Beverley does, and he's out there guarding these guys. So we can't just throw away his opinion and say, oh, it's Pat Bev hot taking here. I think he's saying it and he believes it. And that's someone who's inside the sport. So we have to take their opinion seriously. I just don't see it. I do not see it.
Well, I mean, the New York Times handed out a player of the decade for the 2010s, and it was Curry over LeBron. I mean, Curry's historic run in the 2010s is unavoidable historically. He did change the game. He had the most regular season wins of all time, more than Jordan. And the thing about Steph Curry, yeah, LeBron plays great defense, but what Curry does to a game, he makes life for the other four Warriors so much easier because unlike LeBron, you have to chase him for 60 feet away from the basket. LeBron, you have to do all sorts of different things, but you had such a problem when Steph Curry walked into the building where when Steph Curry was at the top of his game, which was not nearly as long as LeBron, when Steph was at the pinnacle, and I don't think he is now, he was arguably better than LeBron. I think that's where we disagree. LeBron has just done it for so long and so consistently and reinvented his game and did different things, but he was never the shooter Steph was.
Yeah, well, of course not.
That's what the big difference is. Steph is never one-tenth the defender that LeBron is. That's why, does it feel a little unfair comparing them? Do they feel like such different types of players?
Well, yeah,
they
are.
They don't really believe on, they don't belong on the same list almost.
No, they don't, but it's not us who are putting it there. You know, we heard this from Patrick Beverley, and it got us thinking. And so, like, what I kind of think about what you just said is what Curry, how he loosens everything up for the other four Warriors on the court. But I would also say how much Klay Thompson's ability to play defense on the other team's best player, you know, allowed Curry really to go off on the offensive side. Like, there's other things here about LeBron, about Curry, that just, like, when people try to compare them as, like, you know, just their superstarness and their mark on the game and Steph the Golden Boy, and LeBron at one point was more vilified for leaving Cleveland and, you know, going to Miami or what have you, and it seems like Steph never makes a misstep, right? But I would say, like, Steph fell into a way better situation.
Wait, but why, though? Because if you put LeBron on that Warriors team, that lineup wouldn't have worked. I mean, Klay would have been good, but Draymond and LeBron couldn't have really done this. They kind of do the same thing. I feel like Curry would have gone to Cleveland and just dominated.
Well, that's interesting, because would they have drafted Draymond Green, you know, if LeBron James is there? I don't know. But, like, and when I say that Curry stepped into a better situation, I know the Warriors were a laughingstock when Curry got there. So the Cavs weren't far off. But, you know, the leadership that they've had once they made the transition. So Bob Myers turns out very good general manager. Steve Kerr, excellent coach, and was the guy who took this from Mark Jackson and, like, really got them over the hump. Curry has the ability to actually trust the people around him, where it never really feels like LeBron fully trusts everyone around him. You know, like, does he trust the front office? Does he trust, like, look at what Curry just did. And I heard Steve Kerr talking about this last night, was that, you know, Curry, basically the team went to him and said, you know, we're going to draft guys over the last couple of years, and instead of turning around and trading them for another superstar to try to get back to the finals, we're actually going to develop these guys, you know, the Jordan Pools and those guys. And you got to trust us that this is going to help extend our run of success. And Kerr said, anyone in Steph's situation could have used his leverage and said, absolutely not. I'm not hanging around and waiting for these young guys to develop. We need to cash in these picks and trade for a star. And the fact that Steph held steady and was, like, patient, it helped this team. LeBron's never done that because I don't think LeBron trusts the person who's making the picks.
No, but I'm not sure if it's a chicken or the egg situation. Like, LeBron's never going to do that because he's LeBron. Like, LeBron is not going to sit and wait for somebody to build a team around him. He goes. He leaves. So I think, yes, you're right. He's never had that situation, but I think that's also part of his nature that he's kind of always left. So I'm not sure that LeBron isn't part of the reason that he hasn't had that stability because, you know, as we've talked about, he has that four-year window that he graduates. The team uses up all their resources to build a champion around him. It's just a different formula. Steph's done it at one place. I don't think LeBron would have been patient enough to hang out through the downtime in Golden State.
Well, you know, it's interesting because it's about the urgency, right? Which LeBron is constantly probably feeling because all of the comparisons to Michael Jordan. You know, there's got to be an urgency at all times to win as many rings as possible because you are vying for the title in many people's eyes of greatest player to ever step on the court. Steph Curry isn't really vying for that. You know, like, Pat Beverly's putting him right there with LeBron, but I don't know if Steph had felt that same type of urgency that LeBron generally does to win at all costs. Like, think about what's happened over the last couple of years with Klay Thompson being injured. I mean, the Warriors have missed the playoffs. I mean, I know LeBron has too, but, like, they were...
Right, LeBron's missed two of the last 3 years, so it's not... Yeah, I don't know if that works either.
But this is later. This is LeBron now is going to be in year 20 next year. Like, this is Curry when he's 31 years old, you know, a couple years ago, being willing to be patient to let the draft picks develop. LeBron at 31, I don't think had the ability to be patient because everyone's looking at their clock, you know, pointing at their watch, wondering when are you going to win another title?
No, that's fair. I mean, the pressure on LeBron is immense. Also, I think one thing that distinguishes him, LeBron's durability is unbelievable.
Yeah.
The fact that he's doing this at 37 is even more amazing. So I think that's one of the factors. I just think it's a bit of a different conversation. Who is a more dangerous player at their utter peak, LeBron or Curry? And they're such different players. But I think there is an argument to be made when Steph Curry at a certain point was the most impactful player in the NBA. I think we do disagree. I think 2015... in that little run, Steph was actually better than LeBron. That doesn't mean that he's higher on the list. I just think at his very, very peak, Steph had a couple years where he outplayed LeBron. And that's where I am. I'm not saying that LeBron belongs anywhere but number two on the all-time list, but I feel like there was a point where Steph was the best player on the planet.
855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. All right, you're going to write it up on the big board behind you?
Yes, I'm going to write it up on the big board.
Joel Embiid. Our disagreements about Bill Belichick, whether Dak Prescott is a top 10 quarterback has made it up there. Rum and Coke, squirrels, and the movie Blue Chips.
You know the one I feel most confident about? I think about this at night. There's no way Bill Belichick is panicking about play calling. He is not, oh my God, whatever the exact opposite of panic is about play calling, which he apparently has secretly been doing for 20 years, he is so unpanicked about that in May. I just can't even imagine. He is more relaxed about that. His dog ran the draft 1 year. You remember that photo?
Yeah, and how'd that draft turn out?
Is that where he took N'Keal Harry?
Blame the dog. Wasn't so great. All right. Well, that Bill Belichick disagreement will be for another day. Today's disagreement is about Steph Curry and LeBron James. Do they belong in the same conversation? As Pat Beverly said, is Steph Curry right there with LeBron? I think that's nuts. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Call us up. You can also find us on Twitter at Maggie and Pearl, facebook.com/Maggie and Pearloff. We want to hear from you. Coming up next, the countdown of our most intriguing NFL teams continues. Who cracked 30? Ooh, we'll get to that in just a moment. Back with your phone calls. Stephen LeBron, what say you? It's Maggie and Pearloff, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM Channel 158. Five-time world champion Tank Davis defends his WBA lightweight title against number one ranked contender Rolando Romero. Live on pay-per-view Saturday night, May 28th, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific. Go to Showtime.com to order now. It is Maggie and Pearloff. I'm here in New York. Pearloff is in Los Angeles. Going to be doing some scouting at the Steve Clarkson quarterback retreat, which is the reason for the trip. We'll get into that in just a little bit.
I'm so excited. It's cold out here in LA, though, Maggie. I got to warn you, if people think I'm going to be golden tan when we return, it's not happening. It's totally freezing here in Los Angeles.
Oh, I'm so sad for you.
Yeah. No pool time for Pearloff.
You know, it's really the general public that's going to get gypped there because they're not going to be able to, you know, experience you in all of your full Pearloff glory.
Yeah. I mean, you know how they have these like scenes at like the Sunset Marquee and all these fancy hotels? The pool is like a big social scene. So they're not going to see this guy in cargo shorts and socks and Tevas walk up showing the ladies a thing or two about how we do it on the East Coast.
Yeah. You show them, Pearloff. Way to go. Make the show proud. Oh, such a shame that everyone's not going to be able to see you in your full glory.
Oh, man.
Well, we've been talking about whether or not Steph Curry belongs in the same conversation as LeBron James. This was brought up by Patrick Beverly on ESPN. He thinks Steph Curry is right there with LeBron. I think that's crazy, Pearloff. I don't want to put words in your mouth. You think that Steph Curry is obviously a game changer, but you also think that's crazy.
Crazy? No. I think it's wrong. I don't think it's crazy. I do think there's an avenue where that debate can exist because there's really no one who's ever done what Steph Curry does. So if you want to go to, and I think Pat Bev hit on this, there is a revolutionary aspect that at least makes it's wrong, but it's not crazy. You think it's crazy.
I do. I do think it's crazy. I get the revolutionary aspect, and Steph will be forever one of those people who changed the game, right? Like, he'll forever be remembered as one of those people. But I can't say he's, like, there with LeBron in terms of, like, who was the better player and who deserves to be, like, on these lists, you know? And, like, where are they ranked? LeBron is one or two on your list. And for as amazing as Steph Curry is, no one has him one or two. Like, Shaquille O'Neal changed the game in a lot of ways, right? I don't have him number one or two on my list.
Yeah.
Dirk Nowitzki changed the game. I don't have him one or two on my list.
No, those changes were, first of all, nobody could do what Shaq could do. So he didn't change the game at all because nobody's like, oh, well, I'm just going to be bigger, stronger, and faster than everyone else and dunk on their head. So Shaq didn't change the game like Steph did.
However, counterpoint, you had to come up with a whole new defense, a hack a Shaq. Like, that was invented just to stop him. There were elements of innovation that happened because of Shaq.
Right, but no players emulate. There's nobody on a playground anywhere said, you know what, I'm going to be like Shaq. Because, ironically, after Shaq, the big man just completely disappeared from the game. He was the last of a breed.
Well,
if anything, he killed the center position instead of innovating.
It changed. Like, it became like the Giannis and that kind of big man who's, you know, 6'11", but can take off from the free throw line. Yes, Samter.
I think that the reason why Shaq killed the big man position, because nobody, like, people were drafting Michael Olowokandi, Sean Bradley, and Darko Milicic in the top two or three, number one overall, because they were trying to compete with Shaq. Yao Ming, who ended up being good. But they were trying to compete with Shaq, and nobody could, so they all tried to find these new systems. Let's go small. Let's play small ball. Right. And that ended up working out, and that's what killed the center position. But it really did center off of Shaq.
Let's go to the phones. One of our favorites, of course, Mark in Miami, wants to weigh in on this. Mark, what do you got, bud?
Hey, what's going on? I definitely do think you put Curry in that category, LeBron. I think what Beverly meant to clarify is when you look at the transcendent aspect of Curry's game, being the greatest shooter and finding up all these clones who try to do emulate his style, I definitely do think you can make the argument that he's above LeBron in terms of what he's done, revolutionizing the game, not only here in the States, but globally. So I definitely do think Curry belongs to that. Now, when you and I talk about who's a better player, obviously it's going to be LeBron, but in terms of impact and transcending the game, I don't think it's even a really debate. It's Curry in a landslide. And from my viewpoint, I just think when you look at all aspects of their leadership, what they do for the team, and their overall just persona, I think it's Curry, because I just think LeBron just brings way too much drama wherever he goes. As great as he is, it becomes about him, his team, his legacy. You don't hear that from Curry. He's the most selfless superstar. And let's not forget, guys, he's the only unanimous MVP, which has never been done in the history of the game. Obviously, you could say Jordan should have been the first, but these voters selected Curry. So
I know, but Mark, a couple things there. You make some great points, and you know we love your calls. It's awesome and great points there. First of all, they changed it so that the voters there was transparency with the votes. And once that happened, I think we were not long for a unanimous MVP, because you weren't going to have that random dude who votes for, like, you know, for Peja Stojakovic, as we mentioned the other day. That actually happened. So, okay, let's take what Mark said, Perloff, and let's talk about, like, contribution to the game, growing the game globally, because Samter got hung up on Steph Curry versus Kobe.
Yeah.
And if you want to talk about someone who's impacted the game, I mean, every player feels like today – the Devin Bookers, everyone talks about Mamba mentality, like Kyrie Irving, you know, his relationship with Kobe. I would say Kobe's influence on this generation is greater than any other player. Do we put Kobe over Steph Curry?
I do not. I love Kobe and I'm a huge fan. But yeah, I think, yes, there is the Mamba mentality, but there's not going to be another Kobe. Even Booker and Tatum are trying and they're not Kobe. I think the impact of Steph, as far as style play,
right,
it's immeasurable. I mean, you watch, you know, one thing he did, he lowered his launch point, which sounds like small, but he doesn't shoot over his head like was done for 25 years.
Yeah.
That pushed him back 10 feet further from the 3-point line. And now, like, I think it's a much bigger change that guys are shooting from 40 feet because of Steph than anything. Like, Mamba mentality sounds great, but like, what are we really seeing Mamba mentality wise? Like, what is that even? Explain on the court what Mamba mentality and impact is.
Well, I mean, I this is one of those things, right? It's like, I know what it is because I watched it, because I was lucky enough and privileged enough to watch Kobe Bryant play in person. So I know what I saw. And I knew there was a relentlessness there, but, you know, Jordan had that also, right? And Kobe was always kind of doing a bit of a Jordan impersonation, even by his own admission. It's funny, if you ask me right now, maybe I'm just being like prisoner of the moment. I still feel like Kobe is ahead of Curry. Is that that probably can't be. I think the only thing I'm thinking about is rings. And that's the only reason. And yet here Steph is about to go to another finals where he could win his fourth. And then if he gets one more, he will tie Kobe. And I think ultimately he will get five.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a great debate. They're right around the same spot. We're in that 9, 10, 11 area, I think, in my mind. Yeah, so I don't know. It feels like, again, unfair to both players. Doesn't it feel weirdly unfair to both players that we have to put them together on the list? I mean, Kobe's so different. I hate these lists because you denigrate one.
I know.
Like, you and I are huge Kobe fans. Like, we don't want to take him down a bit.
Let's go to Sean in Oregon, wants to weigh in. Hello, Sean.
Hey, Maggie. I think you're right. You know, Kobe's ahead. And what it is, you guys, is Steph Curry's around with these guys with analytics. Mm. And so he's trying to cheat the game. And what it is, it's not as entertaining. You know, the analytics guys and guys going for these threes all the time is not as entertaining as watching guys that are freak athletes that play defense and offense. And I want to say something that, you know, Steph Curry is a guy that's played on the same team with the same squad around him, pretty not the same squad, but you know what I'm talking about, the same
core,
pretty much core guys, right? And I think Klay Thompson's not getting his just due, and hopefully this year he does, but I'm going to say that LeBron came into the league crowned in high school with all this pressure on him. Nobody's ever done this and been as successful as him at being crowned in high school and being successful. The only other person that's done that is Kareem, and he's the scoring title champion, and LeBron's coming after that scoring title. And LeBron's philosophy on basketball is better than Steph Curry's, and he's more entertaining. He's a freak athlete.
Wait, but Sean, I think, you know, I'll agree with some of the things you said about, yes, and thank you for the call, as always. Have a great weekend. I think that, you know, LeBron coming in with all the pressure in the world, way more than Curry. You're right to say that about Kareem, who also had a ton of pressure on him. But, you know, who's more entertaining, Perloff? Like, that's just taste. You know, there's so many people who think that Steph Curry is the most electric player in the NBA. And just because he doesn't dunk the ball a lot doesn't mean that he's not, like, super exciting. People go nuts for Steph Curry.
Yeah, and LeBron, too.
And LeBron. Like,
those are probably the two hardest tickets consistently. If you ever try and buy Warriors tickets when the Warriors are good, oh, forget it. You just can't, like, on StubHub, it's insane. So I would say those guys are one and two. I agree with you, too. Like, both are incredibly entertaining in their own way. I mean, I don't think, like, LeBron is not... LeBron is a little more workmanlike. Does that make sense? Like, he's not going to, but he's, I mean, LeBron highlights are amazing. Like, Steph Curry, like, there are 10 LeBron dunks I could think of off the top of my head that are just the most amazing things ever. But wait, taking one backtrack about, like, how has LeBron influenced the game? There is nobody who models their game after LeBron, though, right? Like, because there's no one on the planet who's 6'10", that fast with that kind of passing vision and that all around skills. There's nobody's a next LeBron.
No, like, we talk about Luka with a couple shades of LeBron, but he's kind of got a little LeBron, a little Curry, a little Harden. He's got a little everything.
He's got a lot of Harden and he's got some Larry Bird. Those LeBron, I mean, I don't know. To see Luka
squint.
LeBron.
You got to squint and you can see it just a little bit.
He's got a little bit, but no, come on. Do you really see, like, I think there are a lot of young Stephs out there, obviously Trae Young being the most obvious one, but nobody's going to be LeBron, Maggie. They've never made another LeBron. A guy with that, like, basketball mind and that basketball body, this just does not happen. Even Jordan didn't even have that combination.
Samter, what do you have?
So you might be right that that people aren't modeling their game after LeBron, but LeBron has influenced the game maybe off the court more than any other player that we've ever seen with joining the big three and just like the empowerment of the athlete and the NBA individual, because it was always there, but LeBron took it to another level and all these guys are following behind him, whether it's joining these big threes or how that they're using their brands to build themselves up individually. It may not be better for the game, but LeBron is influenced in a lot of ways. And also with his social justice awareness. I mean, there have been a lot of athletes before him.
Oh, yeah.
But a lot of guys have followed back and followed LeBron's lead with how he's spoken out on certain things.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and remember when they were in the bubble, I forgot who said it, like, if LeBron's playing, we're all playing. If he's not playing, we're not. I mean, everyone looked to him in that instance, I remember very clearly. I mean, the guy started a school. I would say Steph Curry, though, does a lot of that, too. Remember Steph Curry did the big sit-down with Dr. Fauci early in the pandemic? I mean, the guys have done a lot of stuff.
That has zero relevance on this discussion in my mind, any of that stuff. And if you're talking about impact of the game, you think LeBron had the impact that Michael Jordan did? Michael Jordan brought an entire sport to three-quarters of the world. I mean, Jordan just changed everything with the NBA overseas. And really, when Jordan arrived on the Dream Team, the sport went internationally from, like, mid-level to, like, a thing. I find that argument, like, I don't, Mike, unless you don't compare the two, I think Jordan had such a bigger impact than either LeBron or Curry.
I think the one thing about LeBron, I would say off the court, starting his own agency, Clutch, like, that part of it, I think is really revolutionary. I think that, and kind of controlling a little bit, LeBron leaving in free agency, leaving Cleveland, he by far was not the first person to ever do that. But he took a lot of slings and arrows. I think that made it a little bit easier for other guys to do it. I don't know. There's definitely something there. But if we're talking about, like, impact on society, we'd have to do, like, 10 other shows on it.
But don't underestimate the impact of Jordan on the sport. Like, we're talking, like, Wayne Gretzky, Michael Jordan. Like, there's only a handful of guys who've grown a sport the way that Jordan has. In my opinion, like, LeBron and Curry don't even come in the same stratosphere as far as that.
Do you remember the All-Star Cafe? Does anyone else remember this? Is this a New York thing? Ack remembers this. It was Gretzky, Jordan, and who was the third? Was it Bo Jackson?
I don't remember that part.
There was a third person in the Perloff. Do you not remember this? It was a place in Times Square. No, there was a while in our society where, like, themed cafes became really big. There was one that Bruce Willis was a part of with, like, Arnold Schwarzenegger. This is not ringing
about
anyone.
That's Planet Hollywood. Planet Hollywood.
Thank you.
Montana was Joe Montana.
Joe Montana. So it was Joe Montana. It was Jordan and Gretzky.
Gretzky, Montana, Shaq, Ken Griffey Jr., Andre Agassi, and Monica Seles.
Maybe I'm thinking of that cartoon, actually. Was there a cartoon with Bo Jackson and Wayne Gretzky?
Yes, and they used... it definitely was.
Yeah. All right, there was a time in our society where they had cartoons for athletes. Pro stars. Thank you, Samter. No one remembers All-Star Cafe? Come on, guys. There was Model Cafe. It was like Cindy Crawford and Naomi Campbell.
Yeah, that didn't do too well either.
It didn't do too well? All right. all this nostalgia stuff is coming back. Maybe we should try to bring back All-Star Cafe. Coming up next, we are counting down my most intriguing NFL teams. We also see you on the phones. You want to weigh in on the Steph versus LeBron. We'd love to hear from you. Perloff's in LA. I'm here in New York. It's time to ask the pros, where you guys get to ask us a question. It's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply check out the link, cbssportsradio.com/askthepros, or tweet your question at CBS Sports Radio using the hashtag AskThePros. Be listening later in the show when we might answer your question. It is Maggie and Perloff on this wonderful Friday before Memorial Day weekend. Hope wherever you are, you're being safe, having fun. Perloff is out in Los Angeles. I'm here in New York. We're going to get to my 30th most intriguing team in the NFL in just a moment, because I know you guys cannot wait to hear that. But we've got to go back to the phones, because Matt in California wants to get in on our conversation about Steph Curry versus LeBron James versus Kobe Bryant. This conversation has gone all over the place. Matt, where do you think Steph belongs in the conversation?
Hi, Maggie. Hi, Perloff. I just wanted to state that I think it's a little too early to, as far as have a complete narrative on this, as far as, both Steph and LeBron's careers are still ongoing compared to Kobe. But with regards to Kobe, and I'm a Laker fan, but as far as I could remember, not too many players lining up wanting to play with Kobe due to his personality and his attitude on the court and off the court. So as far as, but I also wanted to comment on 20 years ago today was a very important day in Laker history. That was Robert Horry making that three-pointer against as far as the Kings.
Oh, wow.
But,
that was 20 years ago?
Yeah.
That was 2002.
Matt,
oh, my.
That, I know that was meant to be, like, fun, but that was just like, oh. I don't want to think about that being 20 years ago, Perloff, because I was in college then. And that was,
you know,
fun.
I get all those Ori shots mixed up in my head because there were, what, like five of them.
Yeah, it's all
That was pretty incredible. That actually is a good point. I'm not sure that players didn't want to be with Kobe, but Kobe was so contentious with his peers by definition and like by strategy. So it wasn't like Kobe was a Pied Piper to get guys to L.A. That's true.
Yeah, when I think of like leadership, we talked about his impact on guys like Jason Tatum and Devin Booker and the Mamba mentality and Kyrie Irving. But yeah, in the moment, I mean, he was not exactly a picnic to play with Kobe Bryant, right? He was very demanding of his teammates. Okay, let's get to my most intriguing.
Maggie's most intriguing.
NFL teams. All right. So this continues our countdown here. If you've been with us all week, my 32nd most intriguing team was the Houston Texans. My 31st most intriguing team was the Atlanta Falcons. And so today, Perloff, we crown my 30th most intriguing team. I know the time is flying. It is the Carolina Panthers. With this caveat, they do have the opportunity to move up on the most intriguing list if they do something about the quarterback position, like sign Baker Mayfield, but it doesn't sound like that's actually going to happen. So for now, they are 30th on my most intriguing list. And I have to say, a lot of this stems from Sam Darnold. Him at quarterback just doesn't inspire a lot of confidence in me, Perloff. I don't believe that Christian McCaffrey is going to be able to stay healthy. He's played 10 games in the last 2 years. I mean, this is just not that fun of a team to think about. DJ Moore is a great player. He puts up great numbers in terms of yards. The guy scored 4 touchdowns last year. Like, we don't even get awesome DJ Moore in the red zone. You know, the defense is really good, and J.C. Horn back from his broken foot, there's things to like about the defensive side, but that's not like the juice I'm looking for, you know, and I'm talking about intriguing. You know, Matt Rhule has done like nothing. He was supposed to be the next college coach who was going to come in and kind of take over the league. He got a 7-year deal. I mean, he's been like a zero. And, you know, on top of that, as much as I love it when teams take offensive linemen in the first round because it's a sound decision, but it's not all that interesting. You know, they took our friend of the show, Matt Corral. He's kind of a long shot to even, you know, see the field. I don't know, Perloff. I can't find much, very many intriguing things about the Carolina Panthers. They come in at 30th on my list.
Yeah. Well, I mean, put it on the big board of disagreements just about because I love Matt Rhule. And I know he hasn't done anything yet, but I think he has the makings of a good coach. I mean, Maggie, like, I think the only thing that I would disagree with, I think you undersold that defense a little bit. Like, it's got...
They're good.
I mean, it's got names. Like, they could be a force. You know, they got Derek Brown, I think it's... I don't arguably the best player on there, but they have Brian Burns, remember, out of Florida State.
Oh, yeah.
He was really good last year. And if J.C. Horn is healthy with Jeremy Chinn back there, I mean, they were, what, number 2 in defense last year? That has a chance to be the best defense in the league. So you can't ignore that. And you put McCaffrey with them. You're right. I don't think they're cut out to be a high-flying style, but... If you look at that 6 win total, that's what I'm eyeing, because if you have the best defense in the NFL, I mean, that might be a long shot, but you're going to win more than 6 games in the NFC South. So I feel like they have an opportunity to be a bit of a surprise team.
Okay, they could be a good defense. I don't think they're going to be the best defense in the NFL. The Chargers have something to say about that with the additions they made. I mean,
but the Chargers weren't even top. I don't even think they were top half of the league last year. No, I don't think the Chargers. Yeah, the Chargers defense has big names, but they're in the AFC West, Maggie. There's no top defense that's coming out of the AFC West.
Yeah, well,
trust me, they're well situated. They're well situated to have a really good defense.
I think the Packers are going to have a really good defense. There's going to be a lot of teams that have a good defense. And the thing is, this is a most intriguing list. This isn't a power ranking. You know, I need, like, what am I holding on to here? I'm tuning in so that, you know, I can watch Brian Burns. I know he's a great defensive end, but, like, is that the reason I'm seeing whether or not he can, what, go in and wreck Marcus Mariota? Like, that to me is just not that interesting. Obviously, you know, you got Brady in that division, but besides that, I'm not that really intrigued by the NFC South either.
That's a good point. But it does, I mean, like, 32, 31, 30. It's not like you're putting 11-win teams in the 28, 29, 30s.
Well, can I also say this for the Panthers? Yeah. Like, I know the defense is probably going to be too good to keep them maybe from being in play for the number one overall pick, but doesn't that kind of seem like maybe where this could be going? I mean, if you're why be in the middle? You know, being mediocre when you need a franchise quarterback, clearly they don't want anything to do with Baker because, you know, they couldn't figure out the money to how much they wanted the Browns to take on versus if you really thought Baker was going to elevate you to a potential playoff team, and I don't even know if that's true, but a possible playoff team, you'd pay the money. So I don't know. To me, like, this just has the makings of, like, let's be smart about this. If you're the Panthers, you got a good quarterback class coming out next year. You're going to be a 5-win team? You might as well be a 3-win team and try to go for the number one overall pick.
Yeah, I mean, the problem is Matt Rhule is probably coaching for his job. So I think that he'd prefer, you might not love Sam Darnold, but he knows the system. So I feel like right now, the way they approach this season, don't you think they're kind of all in? Like, they're not going to play young guys. They probably... Probably Matt Corral, is, I would imagine, has very little chance of winning that because Matt Rhule needs to win now, so that means veteran. And not that Sam Darnold's old, but I feel like that gives him such an edge right there. You know,
What makes you think you can win with Sam Darnold? I'm sorry.
Well, just because at least he knows the offense. I'm saying, like, I'm telling you, right now... Fourth-year veteran's better than a rookie.
Oh, I get that. He knows the offense well enough to throw three picks in a game. I mean, honestly, like, that's the thing. I know it sounds like I'm a Darnold hater. I'm not. Actually, I think the guy's been through a lot of offensive coordinators, a lot of change. But, like, he turns the ball over way too much to give you a chance in this league.
Yeah. Then again, like, a third-round pick, are you just going to pop him right in there?
If I'm trying to lose games, I would. I think you're going to be able to lose games both ways. But again,
I don't think the defense is going to keep them in it.
You're right.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to want to lose games because of the coaching status. The other thing, too, I would not say Jimmy G and Baker are dead. I know it's Memorial Day, but I would not completely rule that out 100%. And as you started out, like, they could jump up with a new quarterback. I feel like Baker, like, that just doesn't fit. I feel like Baker came from a bad situation in Cleveland. Do you really want to put him in this situation in Carolina? If you're Baker Mayfield, are you hoping that trade goes through?
I mean, probably because you feel like you can beat out Sam Darnold, but you probably also feel like you can beat out Drew Lock too, right? So,
well, or you might be like, maybe I take a year, like so many quarterbacks have done, and then reset and make my own choice next year. Maybe that's what Baker would rather do.
Man, that's possible. What do you think? 30th? Does that seem about right for the Panthers?
Well, I'm a Panther. Stan, so I have him like way higher. I'm going to go like 24, 25, 26 area.
Wow.
Way higher. Now, I think, like, I tell you, putting a big bet on the over for Panthers on 6 wins.
All right.
But 30th makes, totally makes sense. I think you're in the majority.
Okay. Coming up, our tribute to Tom Cruise continues. Plus, did we learn something new about one of the most fascinating teams in the NFL? It's Maggie and Perloff, CBS Sports Radio. Come on back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.